Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care. Welcome to Push the Roll, a low-prep, dialogue-only actual play series that incorporates ideas from our Patreon posse into the game as the story develops. Join up at patreon.com/aintslayed to contribute and enjoy the madness.
Yeah, let's see Darlene hearing Gary, perhaps.
Yeah, shrieking in absolute terror is just an incoherent cry, a wail almost of despair. He's thrashing around, trying to get out of there, probably knocking the projector over in the process, knocking the chair over, just trying to get the hell out of this room.
You're screaming, are you totally inarticulate?
Oh, completely inarticulate, yeah.
Great, so that's what you hear as you come down this uncannily long hallway.
When you take a breath and the screaming stops, she's like, oh God, which way did he come? And just trying to like basically like echolocate your screams. And when she finds the door, like she'll try the handle. And if the doesn't, I'm assuming it's still locked.
Mm-hmm.
Are there deadbolts on the outside or is there a key situation?
It looks as though a key's been inserted and locked. So this door, unless somebody could pick it, it's not a just unlock it from the outside.
Did I put anything into? No, I did not. Okay. Yeah. So I think she'll start first of all, like just banging on the door and she'll just scream in, don't look in the mirrors. I think she'll just start kind of like trying to shoulder into the door. Just boom, boom,
boom, boom. That's what you're hearing, Gary. In addition to a shambling form somewhere in this room with you.
I think that's just going to make me shriek louder.
Are you helping rip the door off its hinges?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see what I'm doing. It's pitch dark in here, but if I hear what I can piece together is someone banging or trying to knock the door open, then I guess I'll help.
Yeah, I know how that works, like trying to break it from both sides.
What I'll do is I'll find the handle, grab hold of it, and put my not very considerable weight into trying to lean back and add some pressure to it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're pulling against it, and let's get a roll to see if you can batter this door down.
Like strength?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I rolled a 60, my strength is 65, so that's a regular success.
I think this is a pretty sturdy door in an old building that was meant to keep this person in. You feel its hinges wrench, you've broken it a little, but it'll take one more regular success to get it fully down.
Can I do that now?
Was Gary helping?
And in that time, Gary, you're leaning on it. You can feel it now starting to splinter as you're pulling back on it. And that is perhaps when you feel like a hand begin to close around your garments.
The shriek goes up an octave.
Amazing. Okay, that time I rolled a 21, which is a hard success.
Nice.
Bam. The door like snaps off its hinges. Gary goes back head over heels because he's putting his whole weight into pulling it down. Tumbles across. Roll luck, Gary.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Oh,
not even close.
Ooh.
You knock over the projector. Your cloak falls off and it is like running at intervals, just flashing up on the wall. But because it's on its side, it's now at this grossly distorted angle. It's just kind of filling up the space in this odd way. Darlene, you, as you kind of burst into the room and you see Gary tumble backwards, you hear the crash of this thing falling over and sputtering. The light is like strobing now. You're getting this like as the projector struggles against itself.
Do I see Miss Thang?
Miss Thang.
And yes, you definitely see Miss Thang. You see all that, and lit by those strobing pulses of light from the projector, you see standing there with a bunched back and like emaciated ribs, the black hair, which seems to be clinging to its body. Her. Why don't you roll sanity?
Oh my god.
Well, roll sanity right there. I got a natural one.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Wow.
If you'll allow this, I think that Darlene will take stock of the situation. Does the thing note my presence at all? Does her note my presence?
It's hard to tell with the back of the head.
That's true.
You see her kind of move backwards towards you. It's a loud noise.
I think I would like to, like, this is Sparta, just kick her.
Oh!
Just, you know, when she's close enough, just fucking kick her.
Just a boot to the back.
Just a boot to the back. She's screaming, like, bitch, I'm Gen Z. My life is a living nightmare. You think I'm scared of some backwards walking hoe? I don't know. She's just like up in her shit, right?
Oh, and this is a Godzilla boot too.
Yeah.
Oh.
So from your perspective, Gary, you're seeing a kaiju take a huge, you're on the floor. Oh. You're seeing a giant Godzilla take a kick at this beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
With both feet, right?
Oh, a jump kick.
Yeah, yeah.
Balanced on the tail.
Stomping her like she's Tokyo.
Yeah, exactly. Her hair is dangling into her face, Gary. You can't perceive her eyes. But are you saying anything or communicating anything during this?
What I'm going to do just desperately is I'm going to grab the chair or what remains of the chair off the floor and start smashing the projector with it.
Oh my God.
Great. So let's do the attack first. Why don't you roll your fighting brawl against her?
It's probably not going to be great. Nope, I failed. And you can't push brawl rolls, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so I failed.
She lunges to you, but also fails. And you're just getting, like, moving in this staccato way, almost as though she is being somehow influenced by the strange rhythm of the projector. And you can see the distorted face of the crying child, like, taking up the corner of the room every time the projector goes. Yes, and if you hear Gary screaming anything, perhaps like more inarticulate stuff is coming out of your mouth, Gary. But Darlene, what's odd is when he screams and speaks, what you're hearing is like, yes, Gary appears to be speaking backwards.
What? What? I can't understand you. Just like wrestling with her.
She is going to now come for you.
Great.
Ooh.
And that's a good roll. It's a hard brawl success.
I guess I'll dodge. Especially because I missed if I like landed, if I'm prone now because I like tried to go for a kick. I guess rolling out of the way is what she would try to do.
Okay.
Come on.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's going to be, I'm going to spend 1 point to make that an extreme success. Although I guess I don't have, well, whatever. Yeah. Because
nice.
I want it to be stylish. So, yeah, she rolls out of the way with style.
Great. You feel her kind of lunge for you on the ground. You roll away with elegant style. Even though you only see the back of her head, you can tell she's kind of impressed.
With the tail, especially.
A. Yeah.
Yeah, very graceful for being in a kaiju suit. I think, Gary, this projector isn't putting up a fight. You can smash it. Your goal is to break it entirely.
Yeah. I think at this stage, subtlety is well and truly out the window. I am just going to try to reduce this to kindling.
Great. You smash, smash, smash. As you do, like, yeah, the gears, bolts, the works of it are flinging apart. The film itself snaps and ruptures. You just hear the flapping. Is it the momentum of it, like, is arrested and you totally annihilate it. And as that happens, you have rolled out of her way and you can tell that she's kind of like tilting backwards. She's going to try to look at you, Darlene, and let's see if she manages to do it. Let's just have this down to a power.
I rolled a 55 and my power is 75, so that's a regular success.
Great. So her hair flops out of her face and for a second you feel yourself begin to become transfixed at the moment that she blinks, strobes out of existence.
Gah. Immediately take stock of the situation. If it seems like the room is empty, I think I'll scurry over to Gary. Dude, are you okay? man, I feel you.
To you, Darlene, that is still like, I think for a second, Gary, you may be under the influence of this experience you've had somewhat.
Is there any use in trying to calm you down? You're not indefinitely insane, are you?
No, I'm just freaked the fuck out.
Amazing. Yeah, I think Darlene will grab you by the arm. We gotta find Mel and Sam. We gotta, they're probably in danger too, and just starts dragging you out of the room.
And is that when you arrive, Mel? Were you pursuing them?
No, I think they probably fought long enough that they may have even heard at one point the sloshing of liquid chemicals as I arrived in the doorway. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that thing and ran to find Officer Day.
Oh, if you saw that thing, can I have a sanity roll, please?
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw the door.
She's probably got it.
Oh, you saw it.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. What the fuck, Cub?
I rolled a 7.
It turns out pest control, like, is the most grounding.
Yeah.
I wish you guys were less sane.
It's like being hardened in pulp if you're a pest control technician.
Exactly. You've seen too much, man.
Yeah.
I thought if you breathed in so many toxic chemicals over the years, you've lost your capacity for fear.
That could be, yeah.
So you're running to get Samantha.
Yeah, because I saw a dead body in the crawl space that came to life, and I saw this thing that Darlene was fighting with. So yeah, I'm off.
Yes. Okay, great. Off you go. Samantha, we've established what you're doing. The puddle that was Kendra Cole continues to grow. Charlie Chalamet is enfeebled in your arms. The Gimgles continue their chant. The feverish light of the cinema crackles above you.
Listen, she's a police officer, but she's also seen movies, right? Like, so just like how Charlie Chalamet said one day he'd like to play a police officer in a movie, like, she's getting to be the police officer hero, right? Like, from a movie. So she's, like, inspired, and she doesn't even realize how things are going, but she's like, I've seen this movie. I know what to do. She's never been the star before, but, like, this is her moment. And so she tries to, like, sling one of his arms over her shoulder and keep him propped up with one arm, and she's going to draw her gun because, oh, yeah,
okay.
Officer Day's got her firearm, and she no longer feels like this is normal and okay. I think she still thinks this is a haunted house and the effects are really good, but it's not cool, okay? You know, this is one of those haunted houses where you should have signed a waiver if the actors are allowed to touch you.
Yeah.
And so she feels this is, like, very irresponsible. They didn't warn us about the strobe lights. She's like, this is unsanctioned. She's going to report them to whatever, like, greater entertainment company hired them. And she's pulling her gun and she's trying to get out.
So you're holding it on the Gimgles? Are you saying anything to them, or are you just backing to the door?
She's going to try and sort of threaten her way, you know, let me through. I don't like what y'all are doing here, and you're really freaking me out. And I love a good haunting house, but this is not like the ones they do at the Spirit Halloween parking lot. Y'all are out of control.
It's all too late. It's all too late. By now, he has already begun to rise. And our patron shall live again.
I don't know who your patron is, but I will have words with him. you can bet from the, Chapel Hill University Police Department, you're going to get a citation. You can bet your ass on that. And she's going to try and wave her gun enough to make an opening and get out the door.
And who's to say the police will believe you, Ms. Day? When you come to them with a tale of madness, who's to say that the chief that you bring your little complaint to is not counted among our number? Better to sit, to watch, to become, as it were, an egg out of which he shall hatch. You've been given a privilege tonight to have an experience of art, the likes of which very few do, one that is truly sublime. Surrender yourself.
Chief Gardner can't even watch Jaws without being scared of the bathtub. I know he's not one of y'all. I have been blessed with a privilege here tonight, and that is to lock eyes with a man who recognizes me and my worth. And so me and Mr. Chalamet will be on our way. Thank you very much. I do not take kindly to threats. She's going to leave him behind. This guy's creepy. He's trying to intimidate her. As a young woman in law enforcement, she is used to pasty old men trying to tell her what to do, and she's sick of it.
There is no leaving this place, Miss Day.
Well, we'll just see about that.
Use all the intelligence you have behind that huge forehead of yours.
Does she instantly take psychic damage?
My bangs are very fetching, thank you very much. You can't see how large my forehead is.
Are you just like hostage style backing for the door and going for it?
Exactly.
Okay, great. You're shuffling with the body of Charlie Chalamet draped in your arm. Mm-hmm. He feels lightweight. It's as though he's been desiccated somewhat. His skin feels papery.
Yeah, like how old people are shockingly light. Yeah. Oh.
As you back away, as the gimgles in their cloaks regard you. Make a spot hidden, perhaps.
Ooh.
And I assume you're keeping your eyes well away from the screen, though you feel compelled to look at it.
Ooh. Not great. Yeah, spot hidden did not pass by even a lot. I got a 91.
Okay, cool. Then, yeah, you kind of... back to the door and away you go out of its door into the main hall. There are other gimgles out there, like looking at you and your gun.
Oh, and I'm pointing it at all of them. I want them to know I'll shoot you. I will.
You gotta.
I've been through training and I've shot targets and you know, I'm a good shot.
And you can just hear the voice from the other room. There's no escape in here. As these gimgles kind of look at you, you hear the voice of Charlie in your arms. It's like,
you have to save me.
Don't worry, Mr. Chalamet. I'm going to get us out of here.
And then I think you see your party, your friends, emerging from the other end of the building.
Ooh, could we, since Mel was going to find Officer Day, when she emerges with Chalamet or Charlie, you were kind of pulling him. He was like draped on you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like arm over the shoulder, like wounded soldier style.
He looks disgusting now. So I think that Mel's going to think this is something attacking Officer Day.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So what I'd like to do is peel the tank off my back and bash his head.
Oh, my God.
Like, just run up, like, I've got you, Officer Day.
No.
Oh, God. All right. Are you going to do anything to stop this, Samantha?
I don't think I can, because I've got one hand under his arms and one hand on the gun. And I know this is my friend Mel. Well, you are in a black cloak, but I think you've spoken. You've said, I'll help you, Officer Day. And so I recognize his voice and... yeah, I can't do anything to stop him.
Yes. He's so enfeebled. He looks not unlike he did with the prosthesis on in Teenage Dirtbike Zombie.
Oh my God.
And now the tank of pesticide crashes into his head and I think knocks him out of your arms. He tumbles. Like, it feels like hitting an overripe gourd. He's been so enervated by this... eldritch experience. He collapses to the floor.
Charlie! Oh, Mel! This isn't a bad guy. This is Charlie Chalamet. He's a star. He won a Razzie.
He was attacking you. I saw him. He was on your back.
He's not attacking me. He was attacked. He's a victim.
Did you see his gum line?
His gum line.
I mean, even that man was beautiful. This was like a corpse.
He's still beautiful. No, he just somehow, I don't know, they've made him look like how he did in Teenage Dirtbag Zombie. Listen, he's okay. He's fine, right, Charlie? And I want to roll first aid to see if I can just, like, I don't know, stabilize him. I don't know if he's like, if he'd like brains are leaking out or whatever, but.
The Gimgles are kind of just observing. This is a long conversation in this hallway. The robed figures are kind of looking at you.
While this is going on, Gary is just shouting frantically at this lot, but all the words are coming out backwards. He's waving his hands around. All this incoherent stuff coming out of his mouth. Which, if they ever recorded it and played it backwards, it would be something like, "Can we get the fuck out of here?"
Yes.
Gary, I can't understand what you're saying, man. It's just like, it sounds really gobbledygooky. I'm sorry. And kind of like, if we come upon this scene, Darlene is gonna like take stock of this scene. This is fucked up. Can we look into the room with like all the robed figures? Are they moving towards us at all, or are they just staying still?
Absolutely. You of course run a risk of seeing what's on the screen when you do that, but please do look in.
Yeah, just trying to see if they're coming out after them.
Yes, please gaze in.
Yeah, and yeah,
sanity.
Well, first, power.
Oh,
that's a pass. Regular success.
So you also, for a second, as you look in, you see robed figures moving towards you. You see behind them this image, impossible to describe in words, flowering and blooming and changing on the screen. And for a moment, you're transfixed by it, but your inner essence is too potent and you can snap away and out of it.
She thinks about her student loan debt and she snaps right the fuck out of it. She'll turn and she'll just be like, okay, everything's fucked up. I think she's going to see I don't know if you're still holding it, Mel, the canister of stuff. And I think she'll go, Mel, is that shit flammable?
Of course it is. This is professional grade.
All right, buddy. I think she's going to start dragging him to wherever that room full of candles is.
All right. Yeah.
I'm like reluctantly going along, but looking back at Officer Day, just like, I thought she'd be really happy that I saved her, but she seems very upset.
Yeah. Why don't you roll that first aid or whatever?
I was going to roll first aid. Yes.
Yeah. Just see. Let's just see.
Put his brains back in.
To see if I can fit his brains back in. And that is not a pass. It's close, but not close enough to spend luck.
Then I'm sorry to tell you this, but Charlie is like bonked and he's there on the floor and his eyes are kind of like he's fallen in such a way where he's facing back into the screening room.
Oh, no.
And as you watch, it's like, please, you have to help me. As you watch his cheekbone,
bastard.
His Adonis like cheekbone collapse into his head as he begins to liquefy in front of you.
He looks like Toxie.
He looks much like Toxie.
Mr. Chalamet.
Oh no.
I feel like I should be making a sand roll here.
Oh my god, you're right.
Yes, those who are seeing this should definitely make a sand roll.
Sure.
I'll make one since I'm looking back at the scene.
I'll make one just for the shits and giggles of it.
Oh, I passed.
Oh, I did not pass that one. I fumbled with a 100.
Oh my god.
When you fumble a sanity roll, does that mean something?
Yeah, it means you take the maximum loss.
Wow.
You take freaking 6 points.
Yikes.
Ooh.
I am indefinitely insane. That's 1/5 of my san for the day.
Delightful.
And I've failed as well.
Oh, excellent. Oh, 5 again.
I, too, am indefinitely insane.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
All right. So you're insane, Mel, with a canister of flammable pesticide.
Yes.
Gary, I think you have been touched by She Who Walks Backwards.
Hmm.
Suddenly it appears to you that everything around you is backwards. Like, everyone around you is like... You're watching Charlie Chalamet like drip up and reconstitute You see the bug spray canister decave in his head as Mel, in reverse, undoes that. And you see people like running backwards back down the hallway. You see the robed figures go back into the room and take their seats and positions. And you realize it's inevitable. You have to go in and see what's on the screen.
Actually, I'm wondering whether, if it's all coming together, if it's all coming back to what it was.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to go back up to the screening room where I was locked before.
Yes, yes. I think that is a totally normal compulsion. Like, it's you're compelled. You must.
I mean, that's where I came down from. If it's all running backwards, I have to go back up there. I mean, that's just the way time works.
That's just how it works. So those of you around, Samantha and Darlene, you see Gary, like, just move and just walk backwards down the hallway back from whence he came.
Gary!
Gary!
Gary, what the fuck, man?
I love that.
Yeah, Mel, how do you think this manifests for you? Do you want to burn, or perhaps are you compelled to see what is being projected or something else?
Because I don't want it to be too helpful since it's a bout of madness. I think that on Darlene's idea, I'd like to grab a candelabra and hold it up in front of the sprayer and go back for Charlie Chalamet.
Oh my God.
I'm realizing like he's the source of the magic.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
So I've got to take him out. He's the one who lured us here.
Oh.
Samantha Day's pretty close to him.
Well, yeah, but I'm in a bout of madness, so I'm not that worried about it.
Oh, I'm worried about it.
Is there a way to snap someone out of a bout of madness or indefinite insanity?
Psychoanalysis, but that takes time.
Okay, fuck that then. If you're running away from the front, I think Darlene's going to be like, what the fuck? And try to get the shit away from you, the canister and the sprayer.
That sounds maybe like just contested strength rolls going into PvP, maybe?
Yeah.
Just who has the greater success level gets control of the bug spray.
This is my dad's can, so I'm gonna fight hard for it.
This is his legacy. This is his ancestral can.
I think you're going to beat me.
I have a regular success.
Yeah, I failed.
Unfortunately, Darlene, maybe your Godzilla gloves are working against you.
Don't have great grip.
Yeah, just slipping up. It's fucking things.
And then moments later, Mel McCoy lets out a gout of chemical flame.
Oh, no!
Dousing the rapidly liquefying body of Charlie Chalamet.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
It's really not his day.
No.
Why don't you roll luck, Samantha, to see if any of this hits you?
Yeah, luck or maybe dodge. Well, they're the same.
Or dodge, yeah.
While he's doing that, he's like, I've got you. I've got you, Officer Day. I've got it.
Oh my God. Whoa. Ooh, my dice gods are back. I just rolled a natural one.
Oh my God.
Please tell me how you get out of this pickle like a total badass.
Yeah. So Officer Day is possessed by the spirit of the like prototypical platonic ideal of the movie cop. She's more athletic. She's more dexterous. She's more acrobatic than any cop has any right to be. She's smarter and more vigilant. And she full on from a crouch where she was clutching the rapidly deteriorating, liquefying body of Charlie Chalamet. She jumps up into a full like backflip. Walk over where the like fire passes over her body and she like comes out of it in a roll back by where Darlene and Mel are. So she's like behind where the flame has been shot from. And it looks
awesome.
Incredible. Like it goes in slow motion. Everybody sees. It's super cool. She's doing her own stunts.
It looks sick as hell. That's awesome.
Almost snapped me out of a bout of madness.
Darlene's like, Mel, what the fuck? What the fuck are you doing? Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like Tom Cruising it. I am doing my own stunts and it looks awesome.
Fantastic.
It's at that moment that the door underneath the stairs creaks open.
No.
And you see a figure emerge into the light of the roaring chemical fire that used to be Charlie Chalamet. It is dressed in a moth-eaten and rat-nibbled formal attire. There's a jaunty cravat about its neck. There are long nails on its withered hands. And sprouting from its neck is a bulbous and pulsating mass that is becoming more and more like a human face every moment.
What?
As it seems to be reconstituting itself back into a grotesque parody of the person in the portrait in that room with all the candles.
Foster Aikman!
And you appear to be looking at the reanimated body of Foster Aikman.
Ew!
The exchange has taken place. He lives again.
Ew! Can I pull, I guess, Mel's hands in order to direct this spray at that thing?
Yeah, sure.
To add to that, I was going to say, in the continuing Battle of Madness, it's just a continuous spray. So he's just spraying.
Fair enough.
And also, just out of pure instinct, Samantha Day is going to absolutely shoot that fucker in the face.
Okay, great. Make your firearms roll.
Not to be teacher's pet, but they have not seen this monster before, Ross.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Beat up after school, you piece of shit.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right.
Everybody roll. Everybody roll. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Ooh. I did not make my sanity. I did not pass.
Darlene passed like a...
like a rocket.
Like a fucking monster.
Like a fucking kaiju. Awesome.
She is totally cool with this.
You lose 3 points of sanity, Officer Day.
That point... just made it to, is it a fifth of my total sanity?
A fifth of your total, yeah.
Oh, okay. What's a fifth of 60? Hold on. I teach math for a living. I should know this. 12. Okay. I've only lost 5 points.
Does her sanity get affected by the death of her beloved?
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep rolling it.
Thanks, teacher's pet. Yeah. Let's keep it going.
Oh my God. You guys are really being tough on.
Four. You lose 4 more sanity for the death of Charlie Chalamet.
What? Oh my God. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I've lost 9 points of sanity total. So I've almost lost a fifth.
But at the moment, you're still super cop.
Yes.
Let's take that shot. And you're haphazardly spring fire around, Mel?
Yes. I think it would depend on how... maybe Nick rolls for Darlene on redirecting my aim.
Great.
A fumble would be great because then she could be on fire.
Then I guess roll your... it's like you're using him as a weapon, sort of.
Yeah, it's like strength probably. I don't know.
Yeah, you roll strength. I think I want a hard success for this.
Well, you didn't get it. I failed.
In that case, lots of stuff catches on fire.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
How does the firearms roll go?
That was a hard pass. Yeah, because I'm nice. I'm an expert at my Glock 17 9mm auto.
Ooh.
Wow.
They give you that thing, but they won't give you a car? Jesus.
That's the American policing system. Like, yes. Any kid can come get a gun, but not the car. They're more expensive.
You got to pass a bunch of tests for the police car.
Jesus.
You can hear the reconstituting mouth of Foster Aikman just say, "Behold, it is Baron von Madblood." His like little catchphrase, right as your bullet blasts his head into glorp.
Ooh.
This is very splatterpunk, like bits of this like weird fluid that was constituting into his head just go everywhere.
Oh, God.
Not least of which, through the enormous gouts of flame that are shooting out of Mel McCoy's bug spray canister. Several of the gimgles are now on fire. The furniture is on fire. There's pools of burning chemicals on the ground. And if people don't get out soon, they're going to start burning.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm still in super cop mode. So anybody that I can see, Mel and Darlene, I think Gary's too far gone, right? He's up the stairs.
Yeah. Gary's gone back to the screening room.
He's going back, capital G, capital B. He's going back. I'm going to push my friends towards the front door. Come on, we got to get out of here, y'all. This is not okay.
Mel's just spouting like obscure movie quotes while he's spraying Gim Ghouls with fire as he's being lured away. He's, humans are such easy prey, like really getting into it.
What about you, Darlene?
Darlene is going to kind of like start to go up after Gary and then be like, ugh, he'll die the way he lived with scary fucking shit all around him. And then she'll just kind of like run out with Samantha.
Great.
I do think since I'm in a bout of madness still, I assume, I'm going to kind of follow them and then remember that there were so many bugs in the crawl space and in the walls.
That's your art. That's your craft.
This is a sick place.
I have to make sure this place burns down. And the only way to do that is to kind of move to the core, probably the screening room of the building, and just set everything on fire. Curtains, beams, make sure it all burns.
Celluloid film is very flammable.
Yes.
Mm.
So Darlene and Samantha burst out of the door. You've got the van there. And of course, you've got a certain sick ass motorcycle there.
Reminds me of my beloved.
The possum's honking the horn.
Gary is moving with the flow of time back, back, back. And Mel, you walk into the screening room blasting fire all over everything. Gimgles are screaming and burning. And as you walk in there, you, with your kind of queerly focused eyes, see into the projection room for the first time and see a projector. And you can see that it has been rigged somehow. The projector itself is throwing its beam of light into the back of a human head, a decayed human head, and the light is shining from its eyes. This film is being projected through the ocular cavities of a human head.
I love to imagine right when he sees the head, the chemicals run out. Like he was ready to light it on fire. And then it's like, oh, got to refill the tank.
Great. Are you trying to escape then, Mel, at this point?
I think if everything's suitably on fire and all the people are running around burning, I'll try to get out now.
Then I think Darlene and Samantha are already in the clear. Mel, just make a luck roll for me as you run madly for the door.
Sure.
Come on, Mel.
Ouch.
I failed that 87 over 55.
You realize that your canister is out of juice.
Yeah.
But the fire is all around, the purifying flame. And as you turn to run away, you suddenly are caught in the grasp of two still rather potent arms. A neck bubbles and spurts as a face begins to sort of like emerge from it. And the mouth kind of constitutes in front of you. It's like,
you do not yet understand. You will when you see.
The fingers pull your eyelids open and you gaze into the burning screen, the mouth that goes on forever as the flames lap around. The camera of our story catches Mel McCoy liquefying as the head of Foster Aikman becomes quick with life and forms there above as he's like, ha, 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 as the fire burns all around.
Oh my God.
I love it. At least his last thought was like, now this is a fucking movie.
Oh, Mel.
How are Darlene and Samantha escaping?
So I imagined that we like went out the front door, like poof, burst out the front door and did that movie thing where you like turn around and see what you just escaped from. That's what I pictured. Did we see that? Did we see Mel get liquefied and Mr. Aikman?
I think you maybe saw him get grabbed and pushed deeper.
And pulled into the flames? Oh no.
You're just gunning for another sanity roll, aren't you?
Yeah.
I pictured myself seeing this, so I think I have to.
Oh, wait, did you fail it?
I failed.
I passed, but barely.
You just take 1 point of sanity loss, but Darlene takes 4.
Oh, man.
Hmm. Mel was always kind of annoying to Samantha, so just a point.
Yeah, she never really thought about him.
Wow. Yeah.
Some of the other officers would be like, you know, that Mel guy, that McCoy guy, he's your age, you know, why don't you ask him out for a beer, you know, to the local tavern? And she's like, what? Hmm? Oh, Mel? No, that's okay. She never gave it another thought.
Nice.
Though you are rattled in the extreme, if I can put, like, perhaps the two of you hop up on that dirt bike.
Yeah. Darlene, here, get on.
Yeah, okay. She whips out her phone. She, like, starts, like, live streaming on Instagram. Y'all, you will not believe what happened to me tonight.
Here, Darlene, you sit on the back and you wrap your arms around me. Samantha has been riding dirt bikes since she was a kid. She's from the South. She's from Chapel Hill. Her parents go out mudding. Like, we go out mudding every summer. Mm-hmm. And she was just pretending to be frail and naive to impress Charlie Chalamet about, like, where do I put my arms? But she knows how to ride a dirt bike.
Yeah.
Darlene wraps her arms around her waist. Let's just get the hell out. Oh, man, you are surprisingly fit.
It's all the physical training.
And silhouetted against the burning Gimgul Castle, off into the night.
Yeah, we peel out like Kiki Palmer and Nope. Just excellent.
With the tail hanging off the end.
Yeah, flapping in the winds like a banner.
Yes, maybe sparks coming off the tail. See Gary just walking backwards into a dark room with a broken door.
Yeah.
Flames continue to lap around.
Gary, believing that time is going backwards and he has to return to where he was in the film, he smashed that camera. But he is a repairman by profession.
That's right. And so, like, yeah, with the tinker's dexterity, begins to repair this object, and just see him in that dark room, building it again.
Ready to go back to his wife and daughter and finish his tea.
Yes, indeed. Let's get a snapshot of what Darlene is after this, Coda style.
Oh, yeah.
This could be any distance of time later.
She becomes one of those Instagram personalities that's like a ghost hunter. Like, she's always looking for, like, weird shit. She gets really into, like, tarot and crystals and whatnot, and she just kind of, like, tries to go around to places that are supposed to be really haunted. She's definitely hitting up as many horror film festivals as she can find, just trying to catch lightning in a bottle again.
Wow.
But I think that she just kind of becomes obsessed with the occult in the way that a young person would, which is, like, very public on social.
Amazing. And maybe every now and then, as Darlene is, like, scrolling her influencers' feeds, she feels how, like, looking at this screen somehow seems to sap her vitality. It's odd.
Whoa.
And what about Samantha Day?
Officer Day never leaves Chapel Hill. She remains a campus police officer there for the rest of her life. And she never moves up in seniority. She doesn't have ambition, really. She spends most of her time making sure that kids aren't playing around Gimgul Castle.
Yes.
And if she ever sees anyone in a black cloak, she chases them down. And she gets this reputation as, like, sort of a harmless kook of an officer, a little, you know, easy to trick, easy to goad. Right. Some of the kids will sometimes throw on a black cloak and send her spiraling. Mm-hmm. She never marries. She has no social life. When the other officers ask her, you know, after shift to go out and grab a beer, she politely declines. Something happens. Even her friends on the force, who she was close with before, she becomes distant, and she no longer goes out. She just goes straight home and she watches movies. And there's two movies that she watches probably every night in particular. And the first one is her favorite movie Beetlejuice, where she tries to take strength from that fast talking ghost. And she takes comfort in the idea that people live after death and there is something there. And that maybe she thinks this, she lets that comfort her as she watches her very favorite film, Bride of the Teenage Dirt Bike Zombie, and looks at the young and handsome face of Charlie Chalamet, who mysteriously went missing, and that fateful day of that film festival. And she remembers wrapping her arms around his hot bod on the back of that dirt bike. And she rides that dirt bike every day. She tends to it religiously like a child. She keeps it in tip-top shape. And she wastes away all her days dreaming of what could have been as the bride of the teenage dirt bike zombie.
And yeah, the police investigated and found nothing suspicious at Gimgol Castle. Tragic disappearance of Kendra Cole, and Charlie Chalamet ruled accidental. Every now and then you see cloaked figures in the night on campus. And of course, Mel McCoy's friends mourn him, but yeah, his remains are found in a freak fire. Sad. A beloved member of the community. And as a known horror fan, in years to come at the film fest, there may be a headshot of him on the wall next to the ones of Charlie Chalamet and Kendra Cole.
This is the happiest coda.
And of Gary Kaplan. But if I can, like, far away, far, far away, a skittish-looking man goes to another in a dark alley and is like, "I, this conversation is not happening in English. It's, he's like, I hear you have it. I was told that it didn't exist." It's like, "Don't worry, my friend, for rarefied tastes such as yours, we have many things." And a VHS tape is passed hand to hand. And later that night, he puts it in, and it's a videotape dub of a dub of a dub of a dub of this obscure movie called She Walks Backwards. And as the dramatis personae come up in the title cards, it's like, yeah, Miroslav Milevich, Maria Stankovich, Gary Kaplan. And he settles in to watch a film on a crackly screen and sees Gary Kaplan seated at a table with his daughter and his wife, and something else is there in the dark.
Feels like I'm walking backwards. Feels like-